The Washington Times reports today that the FBI has identified a scientist who once worked at a U.S. government laboratory in Maryland as the chief suspect in last year's anthrax attacks that killed five people. The FBI has denied that report. It has been working on a short list of suspects. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports that until last month, the FBI was referring to the culprit as he.
The FBI's initial profile of the anthrax culprit listed a number of bullet points. The first, that the offender is likely an adult male. For the rest of the document, it refers to the person as he, but not everyone is so convinced.
I generally think of the person as male. On the other hand, the more that you think about it, I'm just not sure, which leads me to think that it very well could be a female.
Mitty Sutherland is president of the Academy of Criminal Justice Sciences and a professor at Murray State University. On the one hand, she says, if you look at terrorism, the numbers are pretty clear.
Most terrorism has been done by men.
But look at something like workplace violence. Sutherland studied incidents from 1993 going back to 1976. In most cases, the bad guys pretty much turned out to be bad guys, but not always.
Men commit most of it, 90%, but women committed 10% of these acts. We found that the women tended to be more determined once they had decided to do this, that they went in and they ended up typically killing whoever it was that they were after.
FBI agents base their profiles on this type of data, she says, but realize that profiles only represent the most likely scenario. If you assume someone who killed the boss was male, you'd be right 9 times out of 10, but wrong the other time. So why, up until now, have investigators said he when referring to the anthrax culprit?
The simple answer is that every human being is presumed to be male until proven otherwise.
Deborah Tannen is a linguist at Georgetown University.
If you say you've been to your doctor, I'm going to picture a male doctor. If you say you were stopped by the police, I'm going to assume it was a male policeman. We have female police officers, but the assumption is going to be male.
One profiler says he works the same way. Unless there is something to suggest the criminal is a woman, he assumes it's a man. And Deborah Tannen says there are real behavioral differences between men and women to support this. The differences don't apply to everyone, and you can argue about whether they're due to genetics or upbringing or television, but they're there, she says. In one experiment, Tannen sat two girls down and asked them to talk to each other. She did the same with two boys. The girls tended to look at each other when they talked. The boys looked around the room.
But if we look at what they were talking about, the little girls were talking about their friends and who bought what for whom and who's better friends with whom. And the boys were talking about putting a bomb in the house because they were very annoyed at me for making them sit and talk. And so one of them said they're going to put a bomb, but only in the upstairs, not in the downstairs where the Nintendo was. Now, it's just play, but, you know, there's the pattern.
The FBI abandoned its exclusive use of male pronouns last month when it sent out a letter to some 30,000 microbiologists asking for help in the anthrax investigation. Instead of using he, as the profile did, it referred to the culprit as him or her. That letter was written by Van Harp. He's the assistant director of the FBI Washington Field Office. He wouldn't say if there was any new information suggesting the culprit might be female, only this.
Right away, by saying one or the other, it would eliminate half a population.
Others think it would have been safe to drop the she. I spoke with Candace DeLong, who worked on the Unabomber case and wrote Special Agent, My Life on the Front Lines as a Woman in the FBI. She said, if this turns out to be a woman, I'll eat my book. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.